From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Archer Financial Services' Stephen Platt from Chicago will be along to look at the ag energy markets, and we'll discuss that great big weather storm that surprised South Dakota over the weekend, the impact it has had on the poor cattle herds in the area. And then we'll take up the wheat just a bit as well, and some of the things that producers in the Midwest and other parts of the world might need to do to prep ground for sowing of that crop. But it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. For this Tuesday afternoon, a nearby contract for the corn finished at $4.41¾. That, of course, the harvest month, December, down 7.5 cents. March futures at $4.54½, down 7.25. And the May corn at $4.62¾, 7 lower. July, $4.70, down 7. September at $4.75¼, 7.5 lower. In December of next year, $4.83. Finished down 6¾. November beans, $12.88¾, down 7¾. January, $12.87¾, 9¼ lower. The March at $12.75¾, down 8.5 cents. And May futures, $12.56¼, down 8. July contract, $12.52½, 8¼ lower. And November beans at $11.78¼, up a quarter of a cent. Bean meal futures at $4.28.70, down $5. Bean oil up 55 cents at $40.20. The soft red winter wheat finished the July contract at $7.25, down 0.75 cents, and the hard red at $7.67, a penny higher for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October at $128.27½, up 40 cents. December at $132.32½, up 2½. Feeders at $164.80, 80 cents higher in the October. November at $166.32½. They finished 85 cents higher. October lean hogs at $91.22½, down 37½ cents. And December futures there at $88.20, finished 32½ cents higher, that for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Of course, it does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. Find us at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil at $103.58 a barrel, up 55 cents. The November gasoline or wholesale price on the RBOB at $2.63¼. That's 0.5 cents higher for the day. Ethanol at $1.69, up 0.3 cents. The difference between the two is 94¼ cents now. That's 0.2 cents higher or wider than it was yesterday. And natural gas at $3.71⁄6 is 8¾ cents higher. Diesel fuel trading $3.03⁄2 cents, 2¾ cents higher. And the gold futures at $1,324.40 an ounce, down 50 cents for the day. The U.S. dollar at 80.06 is up 0.1 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a 74-degree high. South-southeast winds at 8 miles an hour. Tonight, clear, a low of 43 on an east-southeast wind at 5 to 7. And tomorrow, sunny skies and 75 degrees. By the time we get to Wednesday of this week, our skies will be mostly sunny with a high of 78 degrees, calm winds out of the south at 5 to 7, that in the morning, and then partly cloudy. And on Wednesday evening, mostly clear and 48, and then sunny skies again on Thursday. We'll start to cloud up just a bit by the time we get to Thursday night and a low of 54. Friday, mostly sunny and 78. Friday night, mostly clear and 56 in the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly sunny on Saturday and 77. Saturday night, a chance of showers, some thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 59 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll be right back.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 8th day of October. On the phone line with us now is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
I think the last time we talked, you said that soybeans were going away very quickly. I suspect maybe they're nearly done with those in your area.
You know, we, of course, got about 2 inches of rain over the weekend here like that, and they're going back to the field today to get that last third, but they are out combining, and we are making very fast progress as far as the beans go. And actually, some very good reports coming in. The yields are hanging in there awfully good, and the later beans aren't falling off like we thought they possibly could. So that, along with that wonderful forecast you give for the rest of the week, put a lot of red on the screen today.
Yeah, it did put a lot of red on the screen. Everybody will be moving in both corn and beans. Certainly beans by the end of the week, corn today and on through the end of the week. Looks like it should be a good week. How are we doing without USDA and the reports it's providing, both for livestock and grain?
You know, some people seem to be upset about it. It seems to be a topic of information, but I sort of finding that the government's poor information at times are questionable hasn't hurt us a bit that it's not out there right now. We're actually looking at what our independent, like Landsworth and a few of the others, of what they're looking at for crops. We know that we can look out the door and see that we're proceeding along with harvest, and we can keep a close eye on what the yields are right here. So basically today, when the weather cleared off and it looked like we're going to see a good week of harvest, we saw harvest pressure return. We know, and keeping a very, you know, Michael Cordonnier and a lot of the other independent ones shooting the numbers at us that we feel are probably just as reliable as the government's.
Yes, see, I did see Dr. Cordonnier's numbers. Were they 20% harvest for soybeans? Is that right?
I can't quite recall. It was very close to that, yes.
Yeah, so those numbers are coming in. The marketplace is under pressure. That would normally happen. Is volume staying pretty good in the marketplace?
You know, we saw the volume increase quite a bit today. We did see a lot better trade than we had the first, the first day of the week here that way. So I think a little bit of confidence coming back in, a little bit of hedge pressure with the idea that the combines are going to be running, and we're seeing a lot of the advisory services saying maybe if you aren't caught up selling and don't have room for it, to sell some corn and beans here today.
Would you sell also the 2014 crop for corn?
We have been putting in orders on that 2014. In fact, we even stuck some orders in on the 2015 today.
So, and you're doing that to protect what? Both the crop insurance numbers and then, of course, sales for next year on the idea that if we have a normal acreage and a normal trend line yield next year, we could really continue to build stocks?
The stocks, look like they will continue to build without some weather problems into the next year. You know, and also doing them out here in the futures at this point in time, we're flexible enough to either come back with some options or just get out of these positions we come. But if we have good weather next year, look how good we're doing on building the stocks this year. And not ideal weather by any means, let alone if we put a year of good weather together.
You mentioned that the soybeans were doing better as they made their way through the end of what was planted in your area. How's corn holding up?
Well, you know, the corn on what we've heard so far, I, you know, hate to say this, but I would say that it's closer to 200 than away from 200 in our area for over here. Basically, it's doing probably, I'm going to say, 10 to 15 bushel over the APH in most cases so far.
And your expectations as we move through the week for the trade, will it ensue quite nicely? And what happens with the outside markets in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, the Washington, D.C. thing's just a mess. How do you say what's going to happen there? Is it going to be that they lose faith in the dollar, the dollar goes down, and we got a chance to rally the grains? Or is it going to be we're going to just continue to see very good harvest weather and things progressing, and we would see a slow erosion through the week. So it's a hard card to say, but we look for the harvest pressure to lead the way.
So we're a few days actually into the month of October. It's a crop insurance setting month, the harvest price anyway. So what are we looking at? Somewhere in that 441, 440 area at this time, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we closed today at 441 and three quarters, so that's where we're at. You know, we probably think it will end up a little bit less than this if we continue to see the pressure that we think will come from the harvest if it keeps moving along and we have clear weather.
Yeah, but it's quite likely that yields will be good enough, I suppose, that producers won't collect an insurance.
It depends. It's going to be on your areas, most definitely, Todd. I mean, we're figuring a lot of them in our area probably will not be getting an insurance check because the yields are good enough that it's going to make up for it in bushels. So, I mean, that's that way. Now, I mean, if you're in different areas where the early wetness was bad, where the dryness was bad or whatever, you could easily be getting a fairly sizable insurance check this year.
$7 July wheat futures enticing any folks to put a few acres of wheat in that you didn't expect?
You know, we're hearing a few more talking about the wheat here, and I think that we're seeing, maybe a little more wheat going than was expected. Probably not as much as last year, but I think we are seeing a little more than what people were thinking.
Do you think that's a good idea if you double crop soybeans behind it?
Oh, I think it's a great idea if you can get it in timely up and get it out. The main thing to remember is if you're planning because it's $7 now is let's do a little bit of hedging.
Yeah, how do you go about doing that? Just pull the trigger on selling cash or
something else? We hate selling cash on wheat. Is the way that it can freeze out like that. We sort of like doing futures contract on that.
All right. Speaking of freezing out, the livestock folks, cattle in particular, had a tough storm over the weekend in South Dakota. Most of the calves that looked like they perished, or the animals that perished, were calves, not full-sized animals. So I'm wondering what kind of impact that might have on the market, if any at all.
Well, feeder cattle had another strong day today. The live cattle didn't change much here today, but the feeder cattle did have another strong day. So the calves is going to affect the feeder cattle market right away.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities, and he's new in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. If you get the opportunity, visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, including all of the closing market report, the opening, pre-opening market reports, midday numbers, some analysis for the weather, and we have some stories that are written there, too. You can read all about it at willag.org. That's willag.org on your smartphone. At m.willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will be here in just a bit. He'll help us take a look at what's been happening in the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In agricultural news, the temporary shutdown at USDA could hinder the department's efforts to ease the increasing U.S. sugar surplus. USDA had planned to release a report yesterday detailing its efforts to whittle down a mammoth sugar surplus. It is possible that processors today may default on 500,000 tons of USDA sugar, but the forfeitures would not be reported until the government gets back to work. Leaders of four Latin American nations have signed a deal that provides that 92% of trade between their respective nations no longer would be subject to tariffs. Chile, Colombia, Mexico, and Peru completed the first major step for full implementation of what is formally called the Pacific Alliance. Waiting in the wings are Costa Rica and Guatemala, which are expected to join the alliance next year, and Panama, likely to join shortly thereafter. USDA has confirmed that it will not publish its crop production and supply and demand reports on Friday. It's unclear if USDA will issue an October report later in the month if Congress ends the shutdown soon, or if they'll skip the October report entirely. The November reports are set for release on the 8th. The confirmation by USDA that it will not publish the closely watched reports came as Tyson Foods and other meat packers began yesterday changing the way they buy livestock from farmers due to the government shutdown. Tyson, Cargill Incorporated, and other meat processors said they began turning to data from private market researchers to help determine the prices they pay for hogs because the USDA last week stopped providing pricing data. The absence of routine USDA reports has led to lower trading volumes in some commodities. Democrats controlling the Senate are planning to try to pass a standalone measure to increase the government's borrowing cap, challenging Republicans to a filibuster showdown that could unnerve financial markets. A spokesperson said Majority Leader Harry Reid could unveil the measure as soon as today. The measure is expected to provide enough borrowing room to last beyond next year's election, which means it will likely permit $1 trillion or more in new borrowing above the current $16.7 trillion debt ceiling. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website. The address there is willag.org. On your smartphone, you might try m.willag.org. The M stands for mobile. No www in front of that, just http://m.willag.org. It's a great way to listen to our programs. If you can't hear us on the radio or catch us on the web, just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal and update it at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day with some of the trading numbers and a bit of analysis. The mobile analyst portal at 217-333-3434. Now up next, the September and October rainfall in parts of the Midwest have patches of volunteer corn up and growing. Generally, that would be a good thing, as it would winter kill off. But as you'll hear, those wanting to sow wheat may need to control the corn. It's time to sow a little winter wheat in the Midwest, and farmers might be advised to do something about the volunteer corn. Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager says doing a little tillage is option number one.
If tillage could effectively control the emerged corn, certainly that's an option that farmers could consider. Others have asked about trying to control the volunteer corn chemically. One, of course, would be glyphosate. It would be very effective at controlling corn. However, it would not be effective if the volunteer corn came from a corn field that was grown to a glyphosate-resistant hybrid. If that's the case, then the farmers would have to look at alternative herbicides. One that could potentially be used would be gramoxone.
Hager says while gramoxone many times fails to control a first stand of corn farmers might want to replant, it generally works well on volunteer corn at this time of year.
Now, of course, we'd have to also bring into consideration we wouldn't be able to tank mix gramoxone with things, obviously not with atrazine. And not with metribuzin either, simply because metribuzin is not labeled for a pre-plant application before wheat. So it would need to be gramoxone by itself.
There are other products farmers might consider to control volunteer corn too, says Hager.
Things like the post-grass herbicides, post or post-plus, fusion, fusilate, select, assure 2. These products are very effective on controlling volunteer corn, but each of those materials has a rotational interval, or a specified number of days that must elapse between when the application is made and when a rotational crop such as winter wheat can be sown in these fields. And quite simply, the rotational interval for those products is way too long to allow them to be used before we plant wheat. There is one exception to that, a product called Targa. The label of Targa does allow the application, a pre-plant application before wheat to be made, with essentially no waiting interval between the application and planting.
One other note from Aaron Hager. If you plan to sow wheat in fields where one or more herbicides previously were applied, be sure to check the label of each herbicide applied for information on rotational intervals. Most rotational intervals are based solely on time, but rotational intervals for some herbicides can be lengthened based on other factors, things like soil pH and droughty conditions. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services is on the phone line to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon.
Well, we've talked a lot on our programs about how USDA's absence from the marketplace has been impacting things in Chicago at the CME Group. Is there a agency that you watch that's not been able to deliver information, the Energy Information Agency or someplace else, on the energy markets?
Not yet, but certainly if it goes on probably past this week, we'll be affected in terms of the EIA and DOE reports for crude products and the natural gas. That probably could be delayed after that point. Mm-hmm. They've been able to get them in so far.
So here's the question of the day. We have crude oil over $100, but we have gasoline at the pump under $3 in some places. How does that happen?
Well, we've seen the move to winter grade. Certainly the demand side has weakened somewhat in terms of the gasoline from the summer months when demand is typically highest. And I think that is also a reflection of more crude going from Cushing that we've talked about here in the past and down to the Gulf to the refiners who have been ramped up their production levels. Subsequently, you've had more products produced, a weaker margins for those products against the crude as crude moves out of the key deliverable point of Cushing.
And so what do you expect in the future then?
Well, I've started to see some stabilization in those cracks. The gasoline crack has basically moved down to as low as $7. It was up over 20 on the December crack. So 14. So it has halved itself here. And that's a pretty big move in terms of those margins. I think at this juncture, as more crude moves from the Bakken and North Dakota from down through the rails into the Gulf Coast, that we'll start to see some pressure on the crude market relative to those product markets. And that does not necessarily mean that the pressure on gasoline will subside, but more that the crude could break more.
Thanks so much, Stephen.
Sure.
Steve Platt with Archer Financial Services. Back in 2 minutes.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Fluffer Nutter Day. The sandwich was first created in the early 20th century after marshmallow cream, a sweet marshmallow-like spread, was invented in the U.S. During World War I, Emma Curtis published a recipe for a peanut butter and marshmallow cream sandwich, which is the earliest known example of a fluffernutter. It's also National Pierogi Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1823, the Erie Canal was inaugurated at Albany, New York, a upon the occasion of the first passage of a boat into the canal, although the entire canal was not yet completed. About 40,000 people were present for the occasion. In 1871, the Great Chicago Fire broke out and destroyed over 17,000 buildings and left almost 100,000 people homeless. It was usually blamed on Mrs. Kate O'Leary's cow kicking over a lamp. However, in 1997, the Chicago City Council looked into the evidence, both new and old, and passed a resolution exonerating Mrs. O'Leary and her cow. But many still believe the cow was guilty. In 1906, Harry Day was born, an American nutritional biochemist. He helped develop the fluoride additive used in toothpaste to combat tooth decay. Over his lengthy career, Day also evaluated the health aspects of food ingredients, principles of food safety, and nutrition. And in 1919, Congress passed the Volstead Act, which enforced the ban on the sale and consumption of alcoholic beverages, marking the beginning of Prohibition. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report for a Tuesday afternoon. Normally at this time, Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, would join us to take a look at the weather forecast. It's pretty simple and straightforward. And Don's out of the office. Nighttime lows won't be bad. Daytime highs will be good. And sunshine will ensue through Friday. So let's take another look at the marketplace. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, I don't have the numbers up in front of me because I shut those off already, but can you give me a quick recap of how the marketplace ended?
Well, we saw a lot of pressure in corn, beans, and wheat today. We saw corn, December corn down 7.5 cents at 441 and 3/4 on the close. 14 down 6 3/4 cents, 483 for a close. November beans, 1288 and 3/4, down 7 3/4. November 14 beans, 1178 and a quarter, up a quarter, actually. And wheat came in December, down 1 1/4, 693.5. So kind of a, you know, corn was very much a follower of wheat, there's no question. So when wheat started to weaken, corn definitely did too.
And wheat weakened because there's thought that there'll be more acreage this fall, or what else?
Well, I really think most of what we saw today is a result of another closed day at the in the government, Todd, because of the fact that we are now, I think there were a lot of people who were in your betting that we were going to actually see some rise in the corn futures, especially during harvest, and now without any good information out there, you know, we just basically don't have that opportunity, and so I think you saw a lot of people just removing long positions, you know, and taking any profits that they might have made out of the marketplace until we have more opportunity to find out what's going on.
And what will settle the market down?
Well, you know, I guess if we would see some negotiations and some real talk. At the moment, it doesn't look that way, although I did not get to see President Obama speak. I know that he was out speaking this afternoon. And so if there's hope, I believe then the market will begin to settle down. Otherwise, I think, Ted, we're going to see a lot of range trading. You know, we'll see some higher highs and some higher lows, and then some lower highs and some some lower lows. I mean, it's just there's not enough information out there. As each day goes by, we're losing another report.
Yeah.
And, you know, we lost crop progress last night. So, you know, the privates are saying they're going to come out and try and make estimates, but I don't think there's anybody who doesn't believe that there is some bias on the private side. And so I just think that there isn't good enough information out to be able to do it.
Hey, thanks for helping out. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's
bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. She mentioned that the president had been talking about the discord in Washington, D.C., in case that, in fact, that is true, and many of our listeners would have heard some of that. If you're just tuning in to us now and you'd like to hear the whole of the closing market report, it was recorded and will be posted to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org by about 2:50 Central Time this afternoon. That's within the next 15 minutes or so. You can always get it on your smartphone at m.willag.org or 217-333-3434. I'm Todd Gleason.